And welcome back to Coast with our guest, Paula Harris, UFO investigator. We're going to take your phone calls. We'll take your stories with her when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Paula, did you ever know J. Allen Hynek?
Oh, yeah. That's how I got started. What happened was that I, in 1979, I saw Close Encounters of the Third Kind and had an emotional reaction.
Saw him come out with his pipe?
Yeah, he came out with his pipe. But George, would you believe when I went? This is also serendipitous. When I went to a wedding in Evanston, Illinois, I decided to drop in on his Center for UFO Studies, and I just dropped in, and he comes from around the corner with his pipe.
That's funny,
man. I couldn't believe he was there. And he said to me, "You talk to my secretary." He said, "You're Italian." I said, "Yes." And he said, "Would you work with me?" He said, "With all the Italian sightings." And I said, "Absolutely." And he and I were colleagues for 6 years. And unfortunately, when he got the brain tumor and he slowly passed away, yeah. I really was devastated. I swear I was never going to touch ufology again. It really did it to me because, Alan and Mimi, his wife, would come to Boulder very often, uh-huh. And I was with him on some cases, like the Rendlesham Forest case. He discussed that in my living room with me.
Jeez.
And he was the best. He was the best, and he taught me how to listen.
Did he ever discuss the swamp gas controversy?
He couldn't help it because everybody crucified him over it. So we'd go places and they'd say, "Well, you talked about swamp gas forever." And he had to think of a quick way out of a situation. It was a quick way out of a situation where he had to go public.
Yep.
And he regretted it all his life. And by the way, people did not let him forget it.
No,
I was embarrassed
they didn't.
Every time they brought it up.
That was so. As a matter of fact, that happened in Michigan. I remember that like mm-hmm. it was yesterday. What for me, though, what was so fascinating about him was the metamorphosis, the change he went through after he left Project Blue Book. Going from an apparent non-believer, at least on the outside, to a believer of extraterrestrial existence. And that to me was an amazing story that not a lot of media people brought up.
Well, it's quite difficult to risk your career. As I said, for most scientists, and he was an astronomer, that's the death knell. You take Jacques Vallée, who worked with Alan, and I think he's not as visible in the UFO community as Alan. Alan no. really took a chance. He was out there. He was out there.
No, that's true. Jacques, he's been on the program. You know him. And his theories are different. With Hynek, I got the belief, I've got the feeling that he believed that these creatures were coming from other planets, these beings. Jacques believes in dimensional presence, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He believes in the interdimensional presence, but Alan did too. I mean, I don't think you can separate that. How can you separate it? It's all part of the whole phenomenon. Even their appearances are dimensional. It's a dimensional phenomenon. So, and Jacques is an intellectual, so he expresses it that way. But he's written some books like that are science fiction that I think there's a lot of science fact.
Sure.
And there's one called Fast Walkers that Richard Hoagland made me read when I was visiting him. Richard throws books at me. This is what I do. He's go read, and I read entire books at his house. And Fast Walkers was one of them. And, it is science fiction, but not really. This is why I encourage people to read. They can get some information from reading. It's not obsolete to read anymore. I mean, everything is not on internet.
And believing, though, in interdimensional ETs doesn't mean they're not physical. It just might mean that that's a bridge to another universe, for example, right?
Yeah, it's a manifestation. I mean, maybe they're interdimensional and there's parallel realities. I mean, if you start wrapping your mind around time travel, interdimensionality, and all of this and paranormal, and you can throw ghosts in there. I mean, some things that appear, we don't know what they are. So it is an interesting, unique kind of phenomenon that should intrigue the human mind of everybody.
Yep, absolutely. Let's take some calls. You ready, Paula?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to John in Hollywood, California to get things started. Go ahead, John.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Good, John. Thank you.
I hope you're into that Sardinian Cananao wine because it's the best on the planet. I would like to congratulate you on a beautiful show. And the lady is absolutely magnificent. Paula, if any way I can help you, my Uncle Peter was a giant, a real full-blooded giant, and which makes me have a DNA of the giant. And the giants, of course, are known to have come toward Sardinia from, and this might help you out a bit, from the area called Tyre, where they were giants, which were called pythons, that were exiled over to Cadiz, Spain. So in their trip toward Spain, the diaspora into Sardinia, and also which was connected to the mainland, which is the Pyrenees Mountains, with the Basques. And very recently, they found a common denominator in the Sardinian and Basque language. So there you have a very, very rare connection. Now, something I want to bring up about giants that has never been mentioned by anybody anywhere. My Uncle Peter, having been a giant, had a spiritual quality. And my mother used to tell me that when he'd place his hand on the body, it would leave a mark. The imprint of the hand would be wherever he'd place it. So the vibratory pattern of his DNA was that quickened. He had a different sense about him. He was extremely strong, could lift 500 pounds under each arm and another 500 pounds on each shoulder. He could pull a horse down the street by its tail and bring it back to the corral, or go up into the mountains and get a horseless carriage that broke down and bring it down into town with one hand. My Uncle Peter was a very rare man. That's my brother, my mother's brother. So the giants, where they come from, they're actually Nephilim, or the children of Nephilim, because they were out of Tyre, but brought to Tyre through the Gobi, where they were sent us. If you read Enoch, and I think it's Enoch 1, you'll find out that the giants were suggested to go, after they had been being killed, to go to the east, and they went to the Gobi Desert. And that's where they diasporaed over toward what is Greece and Lebanon and Tyre. Mm-hmm. And that's where they went out of the region of the Middle East. They went east to the Gobi, and that's where they planted their schools. Actually, they had schools because they were very brilliant, and even though they were supposedly bad. I can't pronounce the word, but they were troglodytes. Maybe you could help me with that, Paula. They were very, very, not nasty, but brilliant. They had knowledge, extraterrestrial knowledge, the original ones. I don't know about their children. And they left it in the Gobi, which the Himalayans, actually, they picked up on this knowledge, and they created the two houses, and one of which Hitler was very interested in, Shambhala and Agartha. And that seems to have fallen by the wayside. But what they did was they brought it back toward Greece, and then you have your legends of the Titans. Well, Titans is the same in Sardinian as Giganti. That means the giants. So it's it's one of the
same. And also the people in Sardinia call the giants Il Popolo delle Stelle, which means the star people. So they're coming from the stars. I'm so happy you called, because you're filling in some ancient archaeology history here. That's very important. Yeah, thank you so much for adding this.
Paula, through your website, can people email you?
Yeah, I was just going to say that you're reading my mind.
Well, I do that.
Yeah, it's like what you can do is go on my website and email me so that we can have a conversation about this, because I am returning to Sardinia. I have to, even though I may not cover this story because I cover UFOs and they've given me a lot of materials. Just go to my website and you will get my email. And I also want to add that I will be in Hollywood, California for the premiere of Stephen Greer's film, Sirius. I was a consultant on that.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, I was a consultant on that. I gave Stephen all the videos of Europe and the interviews I did with the pilots in Europe and so forth. That is going to be an incredible film. It is for the people. It will be on April 22nd, Earth Day, which is a Monday, and I will be in California for that.
Super. We got to get Stephen on the air before that. He's a hard worker.
He is, and I was with him in Crestone when we were filming with Amadeep Kalinka, who is a Hollywood, producer, and he worked on the film. You know, his father was killed during that Sikh, massacre up. And we had to stop working on it because he was just grieving. But when Amadeep was with us in Crestone, Colorado, and if you're coming to Colorado, you need to go to Crestone. You wouldn't believe what we filmed up in the skies. Clear craft, like you would. But it's Stephen that calls them, so I was in shock. I saw the displays on the camera as they were filming.
What keeps driving Stephen Greer, too? He doesn't stop.
He doesn't stop, and I will go on record saying, for me, he is the best researcher on the planet. And he's not a researcher. He's a disclosure person. He wants, a long time ago, we were walking down the streets of Rome together when I was helping him with Disclosure Project. We would walk down, and he turned around to me, and he said, and this is the secret, I think, he said, when I leave this planet, I want to leave a legacy for my daughters that is free energy.
Yes,
he said,
he's into that.
I have to leave that.
That he wants. Said, yep.
Yeah, it's not about UFOs for Stephen. It's about leaving the planet better than when he was born. And I see how sincere he is, how incredible he is. He's the best of the best of the best. And most of all, George, he walks his talk.
Yeah, he does. Is he still practicing emergency room medicine?
I don't think he's had a chance with the projects he's had because, he flew to, he flew to Spain to deal with the DNA of this being friends of mine met him over there, and he very sincere about getting the DNA to, see, he's doing science at the same time, and he's just focused on this film, which was supported by the people and will be seen in, it's like Thrive, it'll be seen in people's homes or in theaters. It's not going to be seen in public theaters, he said. It's going to be like people will do viewings, private viewings, because it is for the people. They're the ones that sponsored it. And let me tell you, what I saw this summer, and I was in shock. I couldn't believe, that he was able to actually...
He pulled it together.
Yeah, he could call it. He can call down these things. The way he does the Punja ceremony, he recites Sanskrit. There was total silence. People weren't screaming and yelling. Oh, there's a UFO! There was total silence and a lot of film footage. A lot of film footage.
Let's go next to Scott in New Mexico, west of the Rockies. Hey, Scott, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George.
Morning.
Paula, great show. I was always wondering what happened to Rods. Those seem to have hit like back in 94, and then nobody speaks of them anymore.
Well, Jose Escamilla still does that quite a bit. Paula, doesn't he?
Yeah, Jose is another really brave soul. He's got a new film called, I thought, Interstellar, and then he's got a new one. I forgot the name of it. But these are people that are dedicated in their studios, in their home studios, in their studios, and he's still working at it, and he's gone from Rods to The Greatest Story Never Ever Denied and Interstellar and other film projects he's done.
He's a good filmmaker.
He is, and I love the music that he puts with his films.
That always helps. That always helps indeed. The alien agenda. Do you think this Project Bluebeam that we hear so much about, this false flag, this trick to get us, to beg governments to do whatever they have to do for us. Do you think that's going to happen?
I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened. I'm a believer that if there was anything like this, I know there's a lot of people out there that are saying this is, we're steeped in conspiracies. We go from HAARP to all this other stuff that's going on in the world, and what it does is it excites us, so it's much more interesting than the good old boring UFO sighting, I don't necessarily think that that's the way it's going to happen. I don't think a whole bunch of energy is being put into into creating a false flag right now. You would have to believe that we would have like massive sightings for them to do that. And I think that that's just out there. I think that's fear. And what happens is when we're living in fear, we tend to shut down. So I personally think that we're not going to have a false flag. I think that these craft are a technology, and I know Jacques Vallée believes this too, is it's like you would give a cell phone to Christopher Columbus. And I heard my friend Renato Longado saying that, you know, he lands on a place and you give him a cell phone and a computer and he's in shock and we're aliens. This is a culture that is so advanced that I think their interest in us is that they are cosmic anthropologists. They're watching whether we can make it through a very dangerous time in history, whether we'll make it through or self-destruct. And we have, certainly with the news today, with North Korea, we have the power to self-destruct. Will we do it? I don't know.
You were a very close friend of Monsignor Balducci. He passed away several years ago. What kind of a loss was that for us, Paula?
Oh, goodness. He was, I love the man. He came to, you know, Steve Bassett's conference, the X conference in Washington, D.C., and he did us a favor by you know, formally pronouncing that the ETs had nothing to do with the devil. He's a demonologist. He's written books about the devil. He was an exorcist. He said, no, we, humanity, is still fighting among each other. We're still steeped in crime and violence. He said, we are at the bottom of the rung of God's creatures. He said, God created many, many worlds, many creatures, many beings. And he said, whatever is out there is so evolved it can travel among the stars. And we are still stuck here. We're stuck on this planet. So he, you know, I miss him because he was a wonderful, his personality was great. You know, even though he was not officially speaking for the Vatican, they could have shut him down if they didn't want him to talk. I think he was a major disclosure personality, and I miss him because on a personal level, he lived up the street from me in Rome, and we used to have dinner all the time. It's hard not to have a community to share this with. It's very lonely out there at times.
It sure is. Was he an exorcist as well?
Oh, yeah. He wrote the book called The Devil, Il Diavolo. And he said the devil doesn't need UFOs. He said the devil doesn't need aliens. He said the devil is active on his own.
An evil angel. Paula, stay with us. Going to come back with final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking with a parapsychologist and taking your calls. And then, yes, those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Final segment here with Paula Harris as we talk about her work and the UFO field. Paula, what has been for you the most challenging aspect of what you do?
Well, one of the most challenging aspects is just is trying to get the funds or the support to do some of this work, all of it, the travel, the everything that I do, including the self-publishing of my books and everything, has to come from my pocket. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am 67 years old.
You do not look it.
I know. Well, I know people say, well, you know, have you been modified? And I say, not really. But the thing is, I'm living.
You've been genetically altered, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been genetically altered. Yeah, I know. I don't look it. And the thing is that I've been around for a long time and now living on a pension. I was a high school teacher. I taught at a private school in Rome for 15 years and had a salary. So I was able to bring over all the top names like Jesse Marsal Jr. and John Mack and Linda Howe and all those people to Europe so the Italians could enjoy them and listen to the real people. Here, I'm kind of stuck because with a senior pension, and I am a senior citizen, I can't do very much, and that is the most challenging. Any field research, and I don't do anything on the phone or on internet. I have to go there. takes funds. And so I'm not going to stop. I'm still doing it. I will not stop until, you know, until it's over. But there is no support system for us. I find there's very little support system for us. And then also when I do it, thanks to you, George Nuri, who is the greatest disclosure, you know, media there is. That's how I can get the work out. I mean, that's how I can get the research out and how people can get it. Because there's no way in the United States, it's very difficult. I mean, the conferences have really, you know, diminished, and you don't know where to go. The mainstream media is not going to cover it. So, you know, if I have a major story, where does it go?
Yeah, no, you're right. I've noticed in the last few years, the UFO conferences are going down, 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 and other ones are picking up, more spiritual ones and health-related ones. I'm seeing that just on the events I go to, Paula.
Yeah, I know. So what do you do when you're still collecting testimonies, military people are coming forth, and all of these ancient archaeology is coming out? Where do you put it? That's the challenge. I mean, the only place I could put it is in a book, or in hopefully in 200 years from now, somebody reads books and they go to a library and they pull it out. I don't know where to put all this research, and that's the challenge. But I have to thank you because you have done so much, and all the people you've had on that were able to share their stories has helped the field a lot. And this is part of human history. What you're doing is part of human history.
Well, you know, it's critical we get the word out, Paula. And so I'm glad that we're able to do this and expand it and keep pushing. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Al in the Bronx in New York. Hey, Al, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, George. Good morning, Paula. To Andrew, I have a suggestion. You talk about, like, planting the seeds for the future researchers such as yourself. You ever thought about making a comprehensible book for children, like, that would deal with, like, ancient aliens and the current stuff that you're researching right now?
Hmm. Paula?
Well, that's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea. Also, a great idea would be having a conference for children and teenagers.
Exactly.
And having a rock band be the one that opens the conference, like Muse or something, so you attract them with a rock band. We need to get people together to try to work with the future here, because there is a lot of people interested. A lot of, you know, a lot of parents come up with their kids. If I see any kids at any conferences, they're the first ones I talk to.
I mean, that would be wonderful, wonderful. Also, George, you got to get an app for the Roku box. For us insiders.
Well, that should be the next big push. That's a good idea.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Okay. Absolutely. Keep growing and expanding. Let's go to Boulder, Colorado, your neck of the woods. Walter's there. Hey, Walter, go ahead.
Hey, that's me. How are you doing?
It's good. Thanks.
All right. Great. Paolo, I met you at RTG's house up in the hills when we would do the Tuesday night I don't want to publicly, like, bring her out, but whatever. I know she knows both of you guys, and that's how I met Paolo. I haven't met you, though, George.
No, nope, but I'm out that way all the time, Walter.
I know. That's the thing. I was wondering where you're filming the show. Like, when you're doing the TV show, are you doing that right here by, like, you're doing it in Louisville, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we do it. And, send Tommy an email.
Yeah, George. Yeah, George, you'll have to call me if you're that close. It's just down the road from me.
Yeah, we got to set you up for one of our shows.
Wait, Paolo, so you're living here now?
Yes, I'm living in Boulder. Well, that's where I lived when I met Alan Hynek. I came back from Italy in 2007, and I moved back to Boulder, Colorado. Beautiful place.
Oh, my God. So when I first met you, I met you when Rebbe, whatever, you had just come back. From, like, you just had come back from Italy or something. I don't remember what the deal was. It was like in 2006. So that's how I know you or whatever. But that's amazing. So I'll talk to her first and then get to you next. And then see George's show. Hopefully, I guess, do you guys go to his show? Do you see his show?
Well, she hasn't seen it. She's going to be a guest on it one day, Walter. And what you can do is just send Tom an email and be a guest at one of them, okay?
Well, I'll do, yeah, I'll do, well, I'll do both. I mean, like, the main thing was I was curious about the show headline being Giants and stuff, because I'd been researching that because of Linda Bolton Howe,
mm-hmm.
and because of also the same person, RBT, I'll just call her. We were out in at an island off of Massachusetts, and we were studying that kind of stuff, and once I started to really plow into it based on your show, George, I couldn't believe it, you know, the cover-up and the actual Giants and the blah, blah, blah. You know, yeah. Just once I started exactly. diving into it, I was just like, holy crap. So that's why I was curious. I was like, wow, Paolo's into this. That's interesting, too, because I didn't know that. And then I've been...
Well, I have to stop you. I'm not really into ancient archaeology, but what happens is when I go places like Sardinia, the people are so desperate to get the truth out that they give me all this information, all this. I have the books of this man. I have photographs. I have a lot of information. And if you look at my website, even though it's in Italian, I've got a tape recorder right to his mouth as he's talking.
Huh.
And I have all this information that I need to give to somebody who is competent. And in this case, I gave it to the History Channel in England so that we get the truth out and with mass media, because the History Channel in England will go down there now and they'll take over because they know what they're doing. And what happens is it changes human history as it is. We have to rewrite it because we're looking at different kinds of scenarios that have been hidden from us.
So, Paula, if we end up with a Petrus Romanus out of the Vatican as a new pope, does that mean it's the last pope and the prophecy is underway?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
You never know.
Oh, Lord. You mean if we end up with a black pope, you're saying?
Or a Peter, whoever Peter might be.
Yeah, well, the other prophecy is that he will be black.
He might be, and there is a...
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. People need to get off that idea. It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning. As Colonel Corso would say, it's the beginning of a new age. It's the...
I would
the
prefer
end of
that.
One era.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the end of one era. And look, Georgia, we got to change. If we keep doing this, we're
doomed. This isn't going to work this way. I mean,
no.
We've got to change.
It has to. And I would prefer, and I'm sure you would prefer, a soft change, you know, a transformation. I mean, I think we both prefer that. We don't want, like, total chaos, war, and violence to change. But it depends on what humanity has in its hearts. If humanity wants to make the transformation in a soft way, they've got to open their minds, and they've got to look at other scenarios and step out of the comfort zone. So we'll see what happens. We're living in very exciting times.
The best of times, the worst of times. Let's go to Marietta, California. Hello, Matt. Take it away.
Hello, George. Hello, Paula. I was curious. A couple of years back, I heard a show on, I believe it was the same island of Sardinia being Atlantis, and I was wondering if she ran any connection with these giants and the Atlanteans.
We did do a show on that, Paula. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, Luigi Muscas, who is the one who has the two books and took me to his property, believes that. I can't vouch for that because Atlantis is said to be all over. You know, there's so many places that were Atlantis, but the people in Sardinia believe that it was the ancient Atlanteans, that the culture of the stars were an advanced culture, and then they went on to populate Europe, as the other gentleman was talking about, in Greece and all that Mediterranean area and so forth. So, you know, what I notice is that maybe we're discovering the truth after all these years. What we thought was mythology was real.
Dr. David Jacobs thinks that the UFO presence is not very benevolent at all. What do you think of that, Paula?
I respect Dr. David Jacobs. He's a professor at Temple University, but I don't agree with him. So I have to be honest. I don't agree. My research, which is field research, talk to contactees all over the world, talk to people who have, military people even, who have had contact and so forth, and they don't come to that conclusion. But I have to respect his view, and I believe people should read his books as they should read all of the material, all of it. People need to make their own decisions.
Okay, back to final calls. Andrew in Carson City, Nevada. Hey, Andrew, take it away.
How's it going, George?
Good.
Hey, Paula. I just had a question for you, Paula.
Okay.
Earlier in the show, you were saying that you were wishing that you had more younger people that wanted to get into the field. And I'll be 25 this year, and my fiance, she'll be 22, and we're both like, well, we'd be interested in it, but don't know how.
Okay, well, why don't you email me and we'll look at certain things. One of the things I believe, because you know I'm a teacher, I'm going to say this, is you have to study. I mentioned a whole bunch of new books. I mentioned that are coming out. I mentioned looking at the research. You're listening to Coast, which is in education also. And then, you know, form groups, form study groups. I mean, sit in somebody's living room, invite five people and have an intelligent discussion. You know, that's how things started in the old days. You know, the intelligent people used to get together in salons, what they call salons, and they used to discuss philosophy and so forth. Well, you can do that. Just pick five people or six people and have them over and everybody talks. Maybe make them all read a book and then report on the book or look at a video or look at the Disclosure Project, and then you have a conversation. Now, you can email me also. I'd love to get your name, because if we ever form anything, you know, at least I have some young people.
Paula, also, let me ask you this. In terms of how many different species do you think are out there? I've heard 50, 60. Who knows?
Well, Colonel Corso told me 52. Clifford Stoll told me 57. It's in the 50s. Now, one thing I want to say, George, we have a mentality, and because I live in the United States now, we have a mentality where the alien is stamped on the T-shirt as a gray. The alien, starting from the Adamski times, and Adamski was real, as was Eugenio Siracusa, that group of the 50s, the alien looks like us. Most of the alien cultures, whether it be the Friendship case in Pescara, and you can go look up Friendship on YouTube, those were human-type aliens. I am a believer in the Billy Meyer story. I went to Zmitrudy in Switzerland. I talked to the people besides, you know, Billy's group. Those were Pleiadians or Plagiarians. They look like us. Most of the beings, I talked to Cliff Stone, who did crash retrievals. I've talked to so many people. Most of them look like us. And Colonel Corso told me that the fear in the Pentagon was that they were walking the halls of the Pentagon. So when he says that, what he said was the extraterrestrial biological entities, the EBs that he called them, were cloned beings. They are not the typical alien. It is a group of aliens. There's all kinds of different. The Virginia case, it was a little being with reddish skin and three protuberances out of his head. And that is a real case. Ask Roger Lear. So, you know, there are all kinds of different cultures visiting us.
Let's go to Seattle, Washington. It's Daryl's turn. First-time caller. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, George. Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
I'm really enjoying listening, talking to you guys. You guys talking, Paula. Your callers and you have talked about so many different subjects that I'm really passionate about. You've talked about the Anunnaki a little bit, and you spoke about just DNA and things like that. Space exploration and ancient aliens is two things that I study passionately in my personal time. I do work in the aerospace industry, and you're right. It's really astounding how many people don't take the time to actually do the research. I think most of humanity still thinks that we're the center of the universe, when it's been proven that, you know, an explosion starts in the middle and goes outward. That being said, in the Milky Way galaxy where we're at, Earth sits in one of the arms of the spirals. So if there's a planet that's, you know, 500,000 years older than us, they would be far more advanced. Have you heard anything about the crystal skulls? Do you know anything about that? Have you kept up with that story?
No, I really don't, so I can't comment on that. But can I tell you, I'm so thrilled that you called in, especially where people, I've met a lot of people who work in the aerospace industry. And you know, just like pilots, your mind is on technology and space, and it helps so much if you're also involved in this kind of material.
Absolutely. Paula, any more trips coming up for you?
Yeah, I'm going to Florida to my conference, which includes Kathleen Martin, Yvonne Smith, Grant Cameron, Peter Robbins, and that is on May 10th through 12th, and that's in May. Then I'm going to cover the citizen hearing. I want to be there when Steve Bassett does his job in Washington, D.C. I want to be there for Europe. I want to cover that for Europe. Then I leave for Italy again, and I hope to go to Spain, where I have my book translated into Spanish is coming out. So I'll be in Spain and Italy this June. And then I'm going to speak at the MUFON conference in Las Vegas, and I will, you know, just be, if there's any stories, I will be there. I will try to get the story to archive it for the future, I guess, and that's, I'm still working at it, George, just like you are.
All right, Paula, thank you so much. You take care of yourself. Let's work something out to get you on Beyond Belief up there in Boulder, okay?
I'd love to see you again. Take care. Thank you.
All right, super. Paula Harris, great guest here on Coast to Coast, great researcher too. Don't forget our Friday night program. Yep, it'll be those open lines on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Jason King, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.